Father in heaven, we thank you again, Lord, as we open this precious book, the Word of God. We thank you that it has all the instructions that we need, and for the Holy Spirit that moves in our heart when we trust Jesus as Savior to help us understand the ways and the means of God. And even as we look at this subject today, dear Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit will honor you, honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and somehow or another we'd be blessed because we've come to the house of God. And we're going to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31 to begin with. Proverbs chapter 31. I want to start reading down about verse 10. And this being Mother's Day, when you have special days, you look for a lot of topics and a lot of things to preach on. And back a few weeks ago, actually a few months ago now, the thought came to my mind that what is the strength of a godly mother? And the topic that I try to work around from the scriptures to work towards to understand this is the strength of a godly mother. And we're going to start in Proverbs to start with, because I believe Proverbs 31 shows us ingredients that God says you can look at and know what a godly mother looks like. I read back where there was a couple that was in their 90s. They'd been married almost 70 years. And they went to a doctor for a checkup. And when they got in there, they, sitting outside, they were talking about how they were beginning to forget some things. You know how we are, don't you? The older we get, we begin to forget some things. And they got talking to me and said, well, we need to talk to the doctor about this. So when they both went in to see the doctor at the same time, Dr. Arthur said, you know, you're in pretty good health to be in your 90s. And they said, Doc, we got a little problem, though. We began to forget some things. And he said, well, everybody your age began to forget some things. The thing you need to do is just start writing things down that you don't want to forget. And that way you'll have it and you won't forget as much, but you have it written down. And they said, well, that sounds good. We'll try that. So that night they were sitting home and in the living room, and they were looking at television. And the husband got up and started towards the kitchen. And the wife said to him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the kitchen. She said, would you get me some ice cream while you're in there? He said, I'll be glad to. She said, now please write it down. You'll forget it before you come back. He said, are you kidding me? Do you think I'm going to walk to the kitchen and forget this a bowl of ice cream for you? Yeah, I don't have to write that down. She said, if you're going to do that, then please put some strawberries on it. And by the way, you might better write it down. You forget it. He said, yeah, what do you think I am? I'm just going to the kitchen. You want some ice cream and you want some strawberries on. That's right. He said, I'll get it for you. She said, well, could you put some Cool Whip on there also? And he said, well, sure I can. She said, I think you need to write it down. He said, you're aggravating me. I know I won't forget this just between here and the kitchen. And so sure enough, he went in there and he was gone about 20 or 30 minutes. He come back out, and as he came back out to the living room, he had a plate with bacon and eggs on it. And he handed it to her, and she was looking at that plate with bacon and eggs on it. And she said, I knew you would forget what I'd sent you for. And he said, what do you mean? I knew you'd forget it. And he said, well, what's the matter? She said, you give me the bacon eggs, but so is my toast. Well, I want you to look with me in Proverbs chapter 31 and read a few verses. Here in verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust her in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. But look in verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. Look in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Verse 24. She maketh the fine linen and setteth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. That is, she's very graceful in her actions among people. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And that's a roundabout way that God says she's not lazy. She's busy and she's concerned about her household. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, as I look at those, there's others that could look at, but take a few verses for sake of time and understand what God says about what a godly woman would be. In this case, we talk about a godly woman who is on this Mother's Day. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we want to see a characteristic, I believe, that God gives us in reality. Not only does he gives us the characteristics, but he shows us a lady who had these characteristics. And we see this in Luke chapter 1. And this young lady that God has chosen to be the mother of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name is Mary. And as I read this down in verse 26, in sake of time, I'm going to read and paraphrase along as I read. And it talked about the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said to her, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. And she said into her heart, What manner of salutation is this should be? And of course, in verse 30, and I'm kind of, you got the King James before you, but I'm for sake of time coming through this. And she said in verse 30, the angel said unto her, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Keep that in mind. Now, there's something about this lady in characteristics that we read about in Proverbs 31 that God says, I found favor in her. Of all the women on the face of the earth, this is the one that I've chosen is going to be the mother of my son. There may be others who were looking for that time to come, but at least this is the one that of all women, what an amazing characteristic of this lady. This young lady, God found her favorable to the fact to be able to carry. Now, she had some attributes and some things about her that the average woman did not have, though she was average in being a godly woman. Notice she goes on and said, Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he said, He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then Mary said to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She knew for a fact that she was pure. She knew for a fact that she had not been caught in any dangerous situation with another man. She was betrothed to this man who she was going to marry. There was no consummation. He had no relationship with her. And she knew how children were born. And she knew, if no one else knew, that she had never had a relationship with man. And then he said unto her, He shall be great. And she said, How shall this be to no man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can you imagine this young lady being told by the angel now that how God was going to bring this about? She never heard anything like this before. The only thing she had to do is do what she already was doing, and that submit to what God told her to do. And sometimes that's kind of hard to do. I know this, if you're not doing it on an ordinary basis, you won't do it on an extraordinary basis because it won't make sense. God will tell us to do some things at times that will not make sense unless we're walking with him daily. And when we find that out, we understand that it's hard to accept things unless we accept the small things along the way that guides us in life. And so notice, he said that shall be born of thee, shall be born of thee, of the son of, called the Son of God. And he said, Behold, your cousin Elizabeth already is with child. Of course, we know that's John the Baptist soon to be born. He's about 6 months into the pregnancy. And it says, For with God, nothing shall be impossible. How can I have this not knowing man? Well, your cousin Elizabeth's having a child. They're up in age. They're beyond their time of reproduction. But God has given them a child. And won't you know, when nothing with God is impossible. And then when he said that, God said that to her, notice her submission in verse 38. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me, she said, according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak to you on the strength of a godly woman. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, in the latter part of that verse, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. When God gives something in His Word that's absolute, and God tells us something about Himself that's absolute, and we obey that and submit to that, there is a result of that of called the joy of the Lord. And you'll find that will become the strength as you walk with the Lord this side of eternity. Bob Hope said years ago, he said, I was mom's favorite child. She always played with me by throwing me up in the air as a little child. The only thing I couldn't understand why she didn't catch me when I came down. Amen. Well, this mother didn't have that attitude. She knew when she had a child, they would be raised like God would have them raised. And therefore, when God got ready for a woman to be the dressing room for His son, He knew what she would do. He knew she would raise him according to what she had to do and what he would have to do as far as his time is concerned on this earth. A godly woman would be strong in her destiny. And that's what Proverbs 31 teaches us. Knowing who her Creator is, it gives her power. Knowing who her Savior is gives her eternal life. So she can bless her children as she blesses God for the blessings that He sent to her. These things give you satisfaction. These things give you strength to go through in life. And you notice, good as I do, when you have children and they begin to grow up in this age we live in today, they'll face so many things. They come some hard times in life. Parents have to make some hard decisions once in a while, and you won't get it from the world because what the world tells us just don't work like what God tells us. Amen. And you'll find out, or it may work up front, but it won't work in the long run. Because God is the authority of life. He made us all, even though we come through procreation. So a godly woman should be strong in her prayer life. This gives her extra strength. A godly woman should be strong in her Bible knowledge. That doesn't come automatically. You have to study this book of the Bible as much so as you have to study the English book or study the math book or study any other book to learn as far as knowledge is concerned in this life. And of course, be strong in the Bible knowledge. This helps her to resist temptation. This helps her to answer questions that face in life. In Psalms 119, verse 11, the Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." She knew what these words meant. A godly woman should be strong in a relationship with her husband, with her children, with her love for others in the Lord. Now, as I look at what Proverbs 31 says, and I look at what God has given us, why He chose Mary, let's look at Mary, Christ's mother, for an example, and understand there's some things about her that God saw that pleased Him, and in turn, in having to do the wonderful plan of salvation, to bring His child, His son, into a world, to lead the portals of glory, God who is a spirit, come and be incarnated into flesh, and have God incarnated into flesh, would have to come through a physical birth so He could become that which we could not become ourselves, and go to Calvary and die that we might have the possibility of eternal life. So there's two points about the strength of a godly woman as we look at Mary. First of all, who was Mary? The Bible gives us insight a little bit about her. Mary was chosen by God to be the earthly mother of Jesus Christ. That's what we see in verse 30. The angel said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Now, let me ask you something, ladies and gentlemen. That didn't just come all of a sudden. That means this young lady had mapped out in her life that God would be first in her life just because that's what she knew God wanted. And near as she could do in her own behalf was to just find as much possible that God said to do, her as a woman, and do that. She did not do that thinking she'd be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that? There might have been some thought about it, but she wasn't doing this saying, "No, the angel's going to come to me." She didn't know one thing about what Gabriel was going to do and what God was going to do. She was just doing what she knew that God would have her do under the system that she was in. She was in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, at this time, for Jesus Christ has not come as of yet. And up to that point, what she did, God said, "Gabriel, this is the one I want to carry my son in the dressing room of her womb, that he may be incarnated into flesh and have God with men in this life as we try to chart our course this side of eternity." And so the womb became the dressing room for Christ in the flesh. There were several different Marys mentioned in the New Testament because Mary was a very popular name in that particular day. But this particular Mary was a young girl who was an ordinary, godly, chaste Jewish girl who was betrothed to a devout Jewish carpenter. His name was Joseph. He certainly was a godly man himself. Her commitment toward attitude towards God was made her available to be the vessel that God could use to bring about his wonderful plan. He didn't just all of a sudden come and say, if you do this and that, I'll do this. He says all the time, I've watched you for no telling how long, and you're highly favored, the angel said before God. You've been chosen for something no other lady will ever be chosen to do in the future and has not been chosen to do in the past. And so here, her commitment was towards God, made her available to be used by God in his wonderful plan. And like we said again in verse 30, he said, thou hast found favor in God's with God. I don't know of a better statement than God could say for any of us. Are we serving God enough today that God would find favor in us to even ask us to do anything? We should be. If we're saved, if we're not saved, we need to be saved. Because you can't serve God without salvation. And so he goes on, and the proof of this is when she heard the truth about God's plan. Notice what she said. She didn't begin to say, but Lord, what about this? What about that? She understood what she said. She asked the question about that. And then from there, she was submitted to what God wanted her to do. And the proof of this is when she heard the truth about God's plan for her life, she immediately accepted it because she said in verse 38, when he ended up saying, now listen, Mary, nothing with God's impossible. And she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me, she said, according to thy word. And immediately when that happened, the angel disappeared. That's as far as it had to go. Now it's just between God and her and how this is going to take place. This showed us her heart. And showed God her heart, but God didn't need to see it like we do because God knew her heart. God knew she would be who she ought to be because to raise his son, no, just any part-time, half-time Christian cannot do this. It's got to be someone dedicated. In this case, any part-time, half-time part of God can't raise this child because God's going to have her to do some things that's going to be inconvenient. And she can't make exceptions here. When it comes time to fulfill what God needs to do through her in the temple and the other things that happen, we see that she had to do. She had to be there at the appropriate time to do those things. And she couldn't have an exception. Well, you know, I don't see what it matters this time. I got something else I need to do. No, that was not the idea she had. And God put favor on her because he knew she would be exactly where she ought to be in those times. What an embarrassing crisis she had. By being with child with no husband, can you imagine what that is like in her day? Because in her day, it's not like our day. Outwardly, it would be impossible for her to explain this to the people in that day due to the rules and the government position. Under the Old Testament law, ladies and gentlemen, this was a capital offense for her to be with child without a husband. It's a capital offense. And she would literally have been put to death because out of wedlock. You cannot order down sin just because it exists. But thank God for the mercy and the grace of God. I'm glad sin don't have to dominate us. Mary was a faithful Jewish mother as she and her husband carried out the rituals of presenting herself in the temple at the proper time with her male child. When it came time to be circumcised, you look in chapter 2 and you find she was there in the verse 21 8 days later. She didn't do it 7 days later. She didn't do it, say, well, I can't get there today. When it came time for that child to be circumcised, she did it because it was a law of God for every male Jew to be circumcised. Not only did she do that, but when it came to Passover time, if you look in verse 41, she was there for Passover. Every year they went to Passover, they took their children to Passover. When it came time for dedicating her child to the Lord, she was there on that day, verse 24, 22 through 24 in chapter 2. What I'm saying to you, when it came time to do what God said do, it'd be like in our day when it comes time that God has told us that we should be doing something as far as the church is concerned, there was no exceptions whatsoever. That's the reason God said she's highly favored. That's the reason that fact is put that way. So again, Mary was a loving mother. She manifests her traits of suffering and heartache and even victory. I wonder what went through her mind as she stood at the foot of the cross, not understanding completely as to who Jesus was and what he had come to do. I know this in Mark 23:21. The Bible says his friends, talking about Jesus Christ, thought he was beside himself. They thought he was mad. When he went into the temple, cleaned the temple out, they thought he got lost his mind. In other words, they were looking to get him some psychological help. By the way, if you stand for things on God like you should, some people think you need some help because they don't understand it. They can't understand how God can be against sin and yet be so loving he'll save a person who's sinned and forgive their sin under the blood of Jesus Christ. But he will. They don't understand God giving second chances. They don't understand that God is a gracious God. By the way, to us who are saved, his grace is or not, we'd already been dead. What I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, God is a gracious God. But here's a lady. My, if you're going to hold somebody up, here's a lady that we need to hold up. But wait a minute. She had to be saved just like you and I had to be saved. She's not to be put on a pedestal that she is without God or don't need God or that she's the mother of God in the sense that she can be in heaven and you have to go through her to get to God. No, you have to go through Jesus Christ to get to God, not Mary. She needed to be born again just like you and I did. Why? Because she had an earthly father and mother, and her seed came from the loins of Adam, and God pronounced a curse on that when he sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. So she manifested her traits of suffering, heartache, and even victory. I wonder what went through her mind as she stood at the front of the cross again and saw what happened to Jesus on that cross 33 and a half years later after he was born physically. Saw him treated in the most horrible way that man could ever be treated. And things went through her mind at that particular time. I wonder at this time, what he had come to do. I know this, in the upper room in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, Mary's mentioned the last time. We see her when Jesus is born. We don't know exactly how old she was then. We see her when Jesus was born. 33 and a half years later, he's died for us to pay the sin debt. And then in Acts 2, up in the upper room, or Acts 1 in the upper room, we see her in verse 45 for the last time. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the acid test of our loved one for God is obedient to his word. Any time in our life, the acid test for our love towards God is obedience to his word. When we obey him like we should, then that's proven to us and others around what something that already God sees and knows. The Bible is silent and doesn't mention her anymore after this. Why? Wonder why. There's Lot said when he was born. We see her along the line in Christ's life. The reason why, the record is not about Mary, it's about Jesus. And when she came in on the scene and God used that way and blessed her because she was the woman to be bring his son into the world as far as the incubator is concerned, though Adam was not the seed, God planted the seed there himself. We understand that, but this is about Jesus Christ, not Mary. So when she came on the scene and her life was done, she's not mentioned anymore. So we understand that. So the Bible is silent and doesn't mention her anymore in this life. So Mary, who was she? She was an ordinary young lady, godly, cherished girl, Jewish girl, who loved God and worshiped him. And when it came time, my, for God's son to be born in this world, she was favored. She was the one God chose. Now, number two, watch this. I want you to note Mary's testimony. I want you to note her faithfulness. I want you to note the message that God set forth to this godly woman. Luke 1:38 expresses her heart. Because she said, be it unto me as God has said. Just give it, whatever God said, I've surrendered to that. Mary believed God. Even understand the difficulties that she would face, she replied, be it unto me according to thy word. Understanding that, this is why God was able to use Mary. Mary just simply believed God. If you look over in verse 45, you'll find it said this when she met her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth said when she came, John the Baptist in her womb, and when she came in Christ in Mary's womb, John the Baptist had a Holy Ghost fit in the womb before he was ever born. The Bible tells us that. For she said, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That's John the Baptist. Hey, it's not a fetus, it's a child. And God says, we can call it anything we want to for scientific reasons. But here, this boy, John the Baptist, leaped in his mother's womb when Mary spoke about her situation. And then she said in verse 45, and blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. In other words, because she believed, God did what he did with her at the time. So, Mary believed. A true believer will obey with God even when he calls on them at times to do things that are difficult. There are no exceptions for sin. The only thing we can throw ourselves is on the mercy of God. When you get down to the fact of standing, some people think sometimes they stand before God Almighty to be judged of their sin, there'll be some exception. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to keep in mind, the only thing can bring sin out against us is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us over and over about that in this particular life. And so we see a true believer that will obey God even when he called on us to do things that are difficult at times. Here God chose the faithful, the one who would believe and obey him. He had to have that. He had to have not Mary and Joseph coming up every time God told him to do something. I mean, suppose he said, hey, listen, you're going to have to leave now 2 years because Herod's going to send some people down here to kill 2 years and under. You've got to go to Egypt. He said, but wait a minute, we can't go to Egypt now. Suppose Joseph said that. We can't go to Egypt. Well, that Christ, God had to protect him another way. The way God protected Jesus is for Joseph and Mary to obey him when he told there's harm in the way and do what he said do. Amen? That's how God chose. He knew that would be the means of her because she's obeying him beforehand when he asked her to do something like that. And so a true believer obeys God even when he's called. Here God chooses the faithful, those who believe and obey him. Now many lived in the day when the chief priests and elders and the scribes and the Pharisees dominated the Jewish life. And they had fought a false religion looking at the Old Testament covenant and in turn made it something that God never intended for it to be. And they were actually worshiping God falsely. It wasn't based on God's truth from the Old Testament. Today, many people have very little time for our Lord. How much time do you give the Lord every week? Look at the hours we have in the week. We who come to church 2 or 3 times, how much time do we give the Lord? I'm talking about us who are saved to the Lord every week. Some give more than others. But if you look at the number of hours we have for ourselves, we don't give as much as we should. You heard I said we? You know why? He deserves more than any of us can give him. And have a heart that we might submit to him. So many oppose him, while others pervert the word of God. Many oppose him and put their faith in false teachers. But being a godly woman is not something that comes automatically. Mary made some choices that God used to show us what he knew she would do. Aren't you glad of that? I don't have to second guess this lady. God's documented. Well, I don't know if she was that way or not, preacher. Well, God documented she was. He knows more than we do. He documented she was genuine. And there was no flaw in her in the sense of when God told her she was flawed enough, she needed to be saved like anybody else. Because the blood of Christ can only one take away our sin. And so being a godly woman is not something that should happen automatically. You know, there's two sides of the matter, and Mary had both sides. What are the two sides? Well, first of all, Mary believed God and was committed to his will in her life. That's why she's highly favored. In other words, whatever God said to her during her time span in time about her son and what her place was at, she just believed God at that. She had done that by believing God in things before. And this was out of the world. If I can't believe God in some things that are simple, I won't believe in those things that really don't make sense. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that preaching of the gospel don't make sense to most people. It's foolishness. Why? Because you need an enlightening, the Holy Spirit, to help us understand what God is trying to do to our heart. Secondly, she would become a Bible student, prayerfully seeking God's guidance for her life and for her family. She would manifest Proverbs 31. That was her desire. And that's exactly what she tried to do. She tried to do that in her life. And God saw that, and though he knew her heart, he let us see now, even 2,000 years later, why he chose her, because she was genuine. True faith can and will be tested. It doesn't matter who we are. This will bring great results in our life. We've been studying a few Sunday nights in a row, the law of faith. We're going to finish that up tonight. The law of faith. Most people don't look at faith. They have no idea about what faith, how it works. And God has given insight, precise individual statements about what faith is and how it works in our life. All families will have conflict. Yet all families will not try to resolve those conflicts biblically. I want to say this. Anytime you and I have a conflict, I don't care what it is, how bad it is, if we go to God biblically and try to get the answer biblically, God will help us work it out. I don't care what it is. God's word is true. He will show us how to work it out. He will show us what needs to be done. There's not anything so bad that we can't be forgiven except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that's turning God down for salvation. I don't care what it is. God loves us all. And by the way, the thing about that is this. You and I have been saved. Thank God that He just didn't save us to get, He didn't just forgive us to get saved. We have to come to Him a lot in our Christian life and ask Him to forgive us because of things that happen. A biblical response to problems will promote healing with bonding. A biblical response to problems will lead to peace and joy. Listen to me. I want to say something, and this is you need to take note of this, brethren. Listen to me now. Did you know that most important thing that you and I can do as a dad for His children is to show His children that He loves their mother? Well, I tell her, show her. Words are cheap, but you need to tell her once in a while, maybe often. Kick me or do something. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm telling you is the truth. You'd be surprised. This thing will say, well, you've heard me say, a wife had been married 30 years to her husband and said, you know, you hadn't said you love me in a long time. He said, well, I told you when we got married, when I don't quit love you, I'll tell you when I don't. That's not it, folks. Ladies, you can pay me out the while. Amen. An unsaved carnal response will promote bitterness and conflict, leading to heartache and fear. Fleshly conflicts never goes by a set of rules in life or a plan of action. When you have a conflict, most people react. And when you do, we blow it. The best Christian in this world that reacts to a conflict will blow it. We have to plan actions and ask God to help us do what is right in the middle of those conflicts. I think about people reacting. When required to do something we do not want to do, many times we react. God's word gives us a plan of action which pleases God first. Note physical birth into this world a matter. And then note spiritual birth into the spiritual world. You can dig the physical birth and see the ingredients. And God said, I can give you the spiritual ingredients now about spiritual birth. So you see the result of physical birth. You know what takes place there. I'll give you ingredients of spiritual birth. Physical birth, you can see it, you can study it. I'll give you ingredients of spiritual birth. So you know what it is to be born into the family of God. From day of conception to the day of delivery and physical birth is a prenatal period. From the day of spiritual birth until the day God calls us home is a prenatal period spiritually of growth until we get home on the other side. There's a seed for physical life, that's man's seed. There's a seed for spiritual life, that's God's seed, His word. Now, the glory of that that God gives us, God uses a godly woman named Mary to birth His son, so that we could be birthed into the family of God as children of God. Ladies and gentlemen, what an amazing thing. I heard a story of a mother, really true. And I close with this thought. This mother's name was Susan Shedley. I don't know when this was. It may have been many years ago. I don't know. She was expecting her first child, and at the fifth month of her pregnancy, something went really bad, wrong. She went to the doctor and he did an ultrasound. And he said that that he did the ultrasound, the child was not fully developing like it should. Had a lot of things wrong with it. I didn't list all the things down. There's just a lot of things. And the doctor said, and completed the ultrasound, said the child condition was incompatible with life. That's the way he put it. Too many things wrong with it. And of course, like that, they suggest abortion. If the child's even born, he said, it's not going to live. I'm just telling you, it's that bad. She got along with the Lord in prayer. She was a Christian lady. And here's what she wrote. If this world was in my womb is all that my son, that's what she was going to have, gets to know. Listen now. She said, if the only opportunity I have to know my child is in my womb, I will not cut that time short. If this world in my womb is all that my son gets to know me, I want it to be as safe as I can make it. It takes a godly woman to say that. It doesn't matter what happens to me. It's about my son. He did not have, by the way, he was not fetus. He did not have a choice through procreation. God brought my husband and me together. And now he's, all the proper things has happened for something that's out of whack. We don't understand why. His death time has dealt us a terrible time in life. But I know this, it's not because of my son. Whatever happened there is in the probation of provision of what God is doing. And therefore, since he is not to blame, I'm going to give him the opportunity. I'm not going to cut his time short. If this world is my womb, and I said again, if this world in my womb is all that my son gets to know in this life, I want it to be as safe as I can make it. She said he'd die anyhow. But I've done everything I could as a mother. Well, that's a mother's heart, isn't it? That's a mother who understands from conception. God has done a marvelous thing in bringing forth a child. And what a godly woman who can care more for her son in her womb than her own self. And I think that's what we see God saying about Mary. Would you stand to your feet, please? My Heavenly Father, I thank you for mothers here today. We had 65 in Sunday school this morning. There's probably another 25, 30 here that came in during morning service. Lord, we look around, see these children. We have hundreds of more up in the other churches. We see these children who are being brought into the world. They had no choice. And yet, there's parents who allowed them to come, ride our buses, come Sunday after Sunday, bring their children to church. And Father, the purpose is to realize, Lord, these are a heritage from the Lord. And God, I want them to get everything that can. And we're in time. One day time will be gone. Maybe we don't understand what's going on after time. Once we come into time through physical birth, we can go out through death. That's our allotment in time. God, who is a spirit, is pulled back to shades and give us insight to look into time where we're at and see what's happened. He'd give us some information, instruction, what he's done for 6,000 years from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And yet, he's not closed it out as of yet. Father, I pray somehow or another. I have no power in words. That's all I have is a vehicle which God uses us to get information out. But those words are not powerful in just because they're said. If the Holy Spirit of God doesn't use what is said from this book, as we talk from this book, then it'll not accomplish. And a man has a will, he can say yes or no. But I know this, God is a powerful being. He speaks in worlds of form. And the Spirit can take words and bring to a heart. And sometimes a person says, I don't understand why I feel so miserable. It could be God has touched their heart about something that he wants to do. Why? In time. And I know this, you said, not wish that any should perish. Heavenly Father, this morning as we have this Mother's Day, May every person here, his mother's alive, they get in touch somehow or another. If the long ways off, maybe do it later and thank them for life. Mother, every mother, Lord, every mother went to the doors of death to birth every one of us. We must never forget. And then, Lord, when you give us into a family that's a godly mother and dad, what a double blessing that is. Most of us may not be born that way, but thank God there are a few that are. But just because we're not born in a family where there is a godly dad or a godly mother doesn't mean that we have to follow their path. God has made us individually. We have our own will. He will give us the information laid out on the table and give us the opportunity to make rational decisions about that which He said and documented we have in His precious Word. Bless our mothers today, and at the same time, Lord, thank Thee for Mary, who was a godly person, that God could find one who would meet His credentials for Jesus to be born. And then I want to thank You for cutting the seed of Adam off. And the seed of God overshadowed, as the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary in artificial insemination, the seed of God was planted in her womb, so she'd become the dressing room for the body of Jesus Christ to be born. And because of that wonderful act, deed, He was willing to leave the portals of glory where He's worshipped by angels and come to this earth and be hated by men. So hatred that they put Him to a cross, and yet God used that for our good to extract eternal life from Him, that we might have this life, or extract eternal death from Him, that we might have eternal life. We thank You for that. Help someone today by the message here, by one of the churches we got going on now, by the radio in a few minutes, this message to be heard, by the Ustream that people are looking at right now and we'll see weeks later. Lord, help someone to see how much God really loves them. And help us understand, no matter what has happened in our life, if we have not automatically rebelled against the Holy Spirit of God and said, I will not have this man Jesus rule in my heart, we can be forgiven for anything if we come to Him and ask Him. There's nothing in this life that Satan can confuse us with that's happened that can cause us to believe that we can't still be a child of God. We thank You for that. We ask You this in Jesus' name. And for His sake we pray. Amen.